Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Chinese economy, the Chinese stock market, investor class. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome our watchman on the Chinese economy, Andrew Collier, Managing Director of Orient Capital Research, author of a new book, China's Technology War, Why Beijing Took Down its Tech Giants. More than that these days. Andrew, a very good day to you. If I see the headlines out of China correctly, there's the D word suddenly showing up, which is the bane of all economies struggling to recover from bad acts. China's deflationary pressures build in September. Consumer inflation cools. Deflation is a curse, Andrew. Is China alarmed? Good evening to you.
Yes, good evening. Our colleague Gordon Chang just mentioned, the leadership is panicking. Deflation is always bad because if you think prices are going to be lower in the future, you're not going to spend money. And deflation also means that there's not that much demand in the economy, so prices are going down. So this is a signal of the difficulties that the government's in, and they could very well be panicking.
And if I remember correctly, deflation ends with extreme crises, massive layoffs, dislocation of capital, flight, in fact, hiding money. That's the romantic version of deflation. Is there reason to expect differently in the 21st century?
I think all of that is true. It may take a while to unwind because there's enough, what I called in my last report, drip-drip stimulus to keep the economy somewhat afloat. But everything we're hearing through the Chinese press, the little information that gets out, is that there's a lot of layoffs already. Even local governments are starting to fire people and cut salaries. So the central government in Beijing, Xi Jinping, the leader, is hoping that with just a little bit of money, people will suddenly get their mojo back and run around and start buying property and spending money in the economy. But most people aren't that fooled. So that's not happening at this point.
Gordon, you have a question for Andrew.
Andrew, Michael Pettis of Peking University and the Carnegie Endowment has just pointed out on X that the central bank is now trying to persuade banks in China to lower deposit rates. That means consumers will have less money to spend on for goods, which I think would tend to lower consumer price index, the consumer price index. Where do you see this going? I mean, don't they seem to be moving in the wrong direction?
Well, they are moving in the wrong direction. I mean, it's interesting. They put a stimulus out there and try to get people to spend. And meanwhile, they cut deposit rates, which means that their savings, which is a big part of their wealth, is going to be returning less on a monthly basis. So it's almost counteracting each other. And the other problem is that if you've got a state system where you're investing heavily with the people's savings into everything from steel to high-tech autos to semiconductors, and you start cutting the bank's deposit rates, that means that the banks are, basically you're trying to keep the banks afloat. So you're doing this difficult balancing act of making the banks get enough interest to keep alive, at the same point keeping people's savings giving returns. And there's a limit to how much you can squeeze out of that lemon. And they're starting to reach the limit of that. And I don't think this is going to end very well.
The Chinese consumer has never been, he and she have never been vigorous. Is this a different scale of that? I'd prefer not to. Is this some version they'd never seen before, hiding their money?
Yes. I mean, Xi Jinping is now seeing a different era. He's been in power for over a decade, and he has, I don't think, has confronted a situation as bad as this. And we all outside analysts think that he's being given bad information, being told that, yeah, the economy's not so great, but, you know, a little bit of help there and the people will be back on their feet. Most of us who look at the economy thinks that there's real structural problems and it's going to keep going downhill. And it looks to me like every time we get more bad news, then Xi Jinping rushes out with a little bit of minor stimulus, and it doesn't do very much.
I tell a story, Andrew. See if the facts are a little fuzzy, but it was this. The last year of the Bush administration, there was signs early in the year 2008, as I recall, that there was trouble somewhere in the economy. We know now it was real estate. The bubble was collapsing. And I think the Congress and the Bush people passed a stimulus bill, something like $50 billion, which seemed like a lot of money at the moment, but it became chump change later on in the year, putting that money into the hands of the American people, saying, well, they'll start spending it and the economy will revive. That was a false hope. Is that the same thing that's going on in China? Give them money and they'll spend and they don't.
That's very similar, except the only difference, I would argue, is that the mortgage crisis in the United States was so confusing because it was basically a Wall Street creation. You know, how can you take all this mortgage debt and package it and sell it to investors? Nobody really knew what was going on. In China, the structural problems of a debt bubble have been going on for 20 years, and everybody who follows China knew that this was going to end badly. So all the signs were there, and yet they did not want to confront it because it's hard to confront something that's keeping the economy alive.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Andy, we saw the consumer price index numbers for September, and core inflation was up 0.1%. The CPI itself was up 0.4%, but the producer price index, which measures factory gate prices, was down for the 24th straight month. Now, with all of these stimulus programs that are intended to stimulate factories, it would seem that the more factories you have, the more deflation you're going to have in the PPI, which would seem that what Beijing is doing is actually aggravating the situation, not making it better.
That's exactly right. The stimulus is essentially going to the supply side of the economy, not to consumers. And as you've pointed out, there's already too much supply of most goods in China. So this is just going to exacerbate that. And the other point is the stimulus so far, I estimate, is about 3.6% of GDP. The stimulus they did in 1998 during the mortgage crisis was 12.5% of GDP. And the stimulus to recapitalize the banks before China entered the WTO in the late 90s was about 30% of GDP. So they're really holding off on this, a major stimulus. And at this point, because the debt is so large, it may be difficult for them to do it.
We're waiting for an announcement, Gordon tells me, Andrew, and the announcement of how big the stimulus. My understanding of how investors work is that no matter how big they make it, they'll want more because there are other problems that can be solved. So in general, the anecdote I told before, stimuluses don't work. Keynesianism doesn't work when there's a crisis. Is there reason to believe that China's economy is another kind of capitalism and it will work?
No. I mean, stimulus depends on who gets the money. If you stimulate the American economy the way Biden did, that created new industries that is generating growth, I believe, and employment. And it is going to pay off probably in the next 5 or 10 years, even though it has increased our debt. In China, you're giving money to state-owned factories that are not producing very effectively. So if you were to stimulate the economy by giving to consumers and maybe letting them start businesses and also spend money on the consumption side, it might have a difference. But given the systemic problems and structure of China, it is not going to make much of a difference.
So they're paying down the debt of already inefficient producers. They're keeping alive the dead horse.
Right, because Xi Jinping believes that the future of China depends on techno, what I call techno-nationalism, semiconductors, electric vehicles, artificial intelligence, that kind of stuff. And so he's pouring as much money as he can into those areas to make China a leader and also a growing economy. Unfortunately, they're not going to be large enough, and they're probably not being very efficiently done to make much of a difference going forward.
Gordon, that sounds like Xi Jinping is a man who believes in a grand illusion. Is he known for having what you'd have to say creative ambitions?
I think that Xi Jinping does believe in a state-dominated economy, which directs, for him, it directs putting more money into the state sectors when there are problems in the economy. But as many people have pointed out, why do we think that putting more money into the state sector is going to solve the problems of previous putting money into the state sectors? State intervention didn't work in the past, so why should it work now?
You have one more question. We have about a minute.
So, Andy, what do you think about more money into the state sector?
Well, you've got the property bubble, which propped up the local governments for the last 20 years, which wasn't state-owned. For the most part, that was a lot of private developers. That was a bubble. Now you've got, as you pointed out, a lot of money going into the state sector, and it's inefficiently used. So this is going to be a continued problem, and the deflation that John's talking about is, I think, going to continue.
Andrew Collier is the principal of Orient Capital Research. He's also the author of a book that is a major part of the story right now, China's Technology War, Why Beijing Took Down Its Tech Giants. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.